You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Lucas Campbell, Calvin Thompson, CJ Fritz, Yasmin Kobanoglu, and Summer Barraza. The producer is Kyle Carrezzi. Our engineer and the KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Zella Celis Marchant. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Aaron J. Bernard.
And I'm Brian Pritchett. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7 o'clock, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 o'clock on Sojourner Truth Radio, the Anti-Police Terror Network weighs in on the killing of Nia Wilson on the Bay Area Transit System. At 9 o'clock, it's Press Watch, Teresa Mitchell's weekly look at the news you're not supposed to know. At 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia features headlines, interviews, and commentary, followed at 10:15 by Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 o'clock on Between the Covers, David Nyman talks to Forrest Gander about his new book of poems, Be With. And at 11:30, the film show welcomes legendary Portland filmmaker Gus Van Sant to KBOO to talk about his new movie, Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, you can do so right now by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
And now it's time for News from the Boo, the weekly segment from people inside of and around KBOO, with news from your community radio station.
Yes, it is that time again, on or around 5:45 Wednesday. We've got Mike Crenshaw in the studio today, and he has two special guests. Why don't you go ahead and introduce them, Mike?
All right, it's good to be here again at News from the Boo. Today in the studio, we've got Mario and Musha from AAPRP, which stands for All African People's Revolutionary Party. I invited them down to talk to us about a couple of things related to events that are coming up in the community and long-term strategy in movement building versus short-term reactiveness. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Doing well. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks
for being here. So I want to talk about this event you've got coming up at the top and bottom of our segment. So for the listeners, you guys have All African People's Revolutionary Party have organized an event that's this Friday entitled Ajamu Speaks. Can you tell us a little bit about that, the when and the where, and who is Ajamu?
Yeah, Ajamu Umi, he's going to be speaking this Friday, July 27th at 6:30 p.m. at SEIU 503 building, 6401 Southeast Foster Road here in Portland. And Ajamu is a longtime organizer with the All African People's Revolutionary Party. He was like an understudy of Kwame Ture, and a lot of folks know this person as Stokely Carmichael, but they will eternally be known as Kwame Ture to folks that are, you know, down with revolutionary politics in the African diaspora, you know. And we believe in scientific socialism as a means to liberate Africa for the masses, and so we can be in control of our own destiny as a people.
Okay, so you just said a mouthful right there. So again, Ajamu is a longtime organizer, activist, leader in the community who's been in Portland for years, and he's now in California, but he's coming up to speak, and that's going to be Friday. And let's see here. Yeah. So you said scientific socialism. You said the diaspora. For the listeners in the audience, what do you mean when you say the diaspora, first of all?
When we say diaspora, we mean African people all over the world, because we know due to European colonialism, that, you know, African people were pretty much stripped from their the motherland. And so we know that that is caught in by, you know, all nationalities of European descent. So we know that, you know, that has caused us to be scattered all over the globe.
Okay. So some people are going to listen to what you're saying. And the first thing that they're going to hear is African mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. being central to what you're talking about, to your rhetoric. Mm-hmm. And the second thing they're going to hear is scientific socialism. And I know people are going to react to that. So, you know, in the society that we live in, we've been taught that socialism is actually a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And to center African people's identity and political struggles as a priority, often people react to that. And I'm playing the devil's advocate here. They'll go, well, that's racist. Mm-hmm. So what would you say, not necessarily to those people, because I believe your work, is you're not out here trying to please those people's opinion of mm-hmm. your work. But what would you say to people who don't understand why socialism is important and why socialism is important in the context of African people's liberation worldwide?
I would say because... we know that Africa is being dominated by capitalism. We know that the resources aren't in the hands of the people. We know that they're in the hands of the upper class, the ruling class African people, who are mere engines of white power and neocolonialism.
Okay. So how does that affect your work here in Portland, Oregon, in the United States of America on a day-to-day basis?
Well, the long-term goal that we do here is to win for the masses of people of Africa worldwide on the continent and part of the diaspora, right? Part of those people that have been separated culturally and physically from the continent, which is our, you know, essentially our birthright as a people, right? And so what socialism has to do with that is that to fight capitalism, you have to organize against capitalism. And a great way to organize against capitalism is through socialist means. So like things like collectively, you know, fighting for our right to have the water, you know, and the access to the resources, right? So the reason that, you know, Africa affects everybody, not just Africans here and not just Africans on the continent, but all human beings, like, you know, we all have cell phones, you know, all of those things have very, very particular, you know, precious metals that supply the whole world with all of, you know, all these fine things. And the people that profit from that are not Africans, you know. And if Africans have control of the resources and they're for the benefit of the masses of people, it won't just benefit the masses of Africans. It'll actually benefit worldwide, you know, because people on the underclass everywhere will benefit because we're all going to have access to more resources, because we all know how African folks are. We're not, we've been too kind for too long.
Okay. I'm for the sake of argument, I want to say to you, there are instances in Africa right now where African governments and states are not distributing the wealth that comes from the resources in a just and equitable way. And so what do you have to say about, you know, you've got an unjust power structure globally right now, okay, that's run by a small percentage of super wealthy people who utilize violence and coercion and all types of means to control masses of people, right? So are you saying that if the people who are in control of systems of government are African, that there's going to be a more just distribution of resources, a more equitable way of ruling, when people can say, look at what's happening, and they'll pull out some country out of their neck or whatever, and they'll say, that's not, those people are being ruled by Africans and they're not doing any better. That's the first question that I want to ask critically.
Well, we have to remember that, like I said before, neocolonialism, so when you like you put a black face on capitalism, so to, you know, deceive the people. So we know it's still capitalism, but it's just hidden behind a black face. And that's, I think, that's kind of like the generation we live in today. That's what we see with all these African leaders. I'll give you one instance. For example, let's see, We know, what's his name, in Rwanda?
Kagame.
Kagame, you know, you see Kagame, you know, what he's doing in the Congo. He's trying to balkanize the Congo for, you know, his benefit, along with the Museveni in Uganda.
Museveni, mm-hmm.
And a personal example, because I'm from Kenya, mm-hmm. We see that 75% of the land in Africa, in Northern Africa in particular, is still owned by white settlers. Mm-hmm. The Maasai people in Northern Kenya still haven't gotten that back. And there's an African president. You see, so having an African president really didn't change anything if he wasn't for the interests of the masses of the people.
Mm-hmm. So where do the interests of the masses of African people being liberated, okay, from unjust rule, not only on the continent but also in the diaspora as a result of capitalism and white supremacy, where do the interests of African people or African people's liberation intersect with the masses of all oppressed people? Some might even say all workers, all working class people, all poor people, all over the world, regardless of their ethnicity and nationality or race. How do those struggles intersect?
Well, you know, all workers globally are oppressed under this capitalist system, which is completely based upon, you know, a patriarchal white supremacist ideology that has evolved over time, you know, from slavery based on, you know, from chattel slavery to this new, you know, to the, some people call it New Jim Crow, other people just call it, you know, the prison industrial complex, you know, folks in the party, we just call it, you know, America, you know what I'm saying, or United Snakes. And it's evolved over time, and what we do with the party is our goal is to get African folks educated into, you know, into what is going on in the world that we live in, why we're living what we're living, and how we can, you know, make it better for us, and not worry about what other people are trying to figure out and tell us what we need to do and who we need to vote for and, you know, what, you know, business we need to support. We're not doing that. We're going to figure out our own way. Just like, you know, the Europeans got the chance to figure out their own way on this stolen land. We're trying to do way more on not stolen land. We're trying to liberate our land and, you know, we're trying to make it better for the masses of humanity.
So similar to Garveyite movements of the past, are you talking about blacks in the diaspora in the United States repatriating and going back to the continent of Africa and living there? When you say stolen land, I mean, you're talking about genocidal struggle waged against indigenous First Nations people of this continent, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what we're talking about. And we're advocating for indigenous people to be in control of this land, and indigenous working class people of Europe to be in control of their land. It doesn't seem like they're doing that great over there, but there's a lot of working class struggles over there too. So, you know, we're all connected, interconnected with that. And so we say that, you know, indigenous folks, they can tell us where to go when they have the power, right? And we are saying to other Africans, join us in helping work for a better Africa. And if you don't want to go to Africa in the long term, that's fine. You know, you call home wherever you need, just know where you come from and know that you could still work for a better world for Africans and for all working class people if you, you know, join an organization fighting for justice.
Man, these are some powerful topics. And so I just want to ask one more time in closing, thank you, Mario, and thank you, Michelle, for coming down. Friday night, the event, Ajamu Speaks, where is that going to be?
That's at the SEIU building, the 503 building. It's 6401 Southeast Foster Road in Southeast Portland. That's 6401 Southeast Foster Road, 6:30 p.m. Friday, July 27th.
Is it free?
Yes, free, and we'll have some light snacks.
All ages?
All ages. Please bring your family. We're going to have real talk with a brother who's been organizing with us for, you know, many decades and is just... It's going to be great to see him and hear about his some of his work and
Thank
some
you.
Of the work of the party.
Right on, y'all. Peace.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Portland, Northwest, and the world beyond. You are listening to KBOO Portland, the one and only. The time is 5:59, and up next is The Underground.
KBOO Community Radio is 50. We are celebrating our birthday with a big street fair and party on August 11th from noon to 10 p.m. here at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon.
We'll be broadcasting live bands all day and have an open house celebrating 50 years of KBOO.
There will be a reunion from 2 to 5 during the street party for folks looking to see KBOO volunteers from other eras.
So save the date, Saturday, August 11th, to celebrate the 50 years of KBOO with your community radio station. KBOO Portland.
KBOO is celebrating 50 years of broadcasting and the many people who are part of KBOO's history.
KBOO, I really think, is a good resource, and they give a voice to people who might be isolated or disfranchised. I thought that was good how they put it in the mission statement.
KBOO was a lot of activity, and I was struck by the diversity. It was very welcoming, and I thought, this is something I like to be involved with.
The day I walked in, it was during pledge drive, and I was immediately pulled over to the membership drive table, which was in the front lobby, and we were all talking on the air about why you should join KBOO, and it was fun.
To hear the stories of people who helped make KBOO what it is today, go to 50yearsofkboo.fm and click on KBOO Stories Project.
KBOO.
All right, up next we have the Youth Collective on KBOO, KBOO Portland.